Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the stolen ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh.
Listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree/cjsfradio. And learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca.
Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-CJSF, which is 2573. Welcome, everybody. This is Slumber Party, and I'm DJ Coco. And today, we have a new DJ. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I would love to. I'm DJ Superstar.
So, as we know, the other DJ, or the normal star, DJ Star, is off in Germany right now for the next 4 months. I've been doing a couple solo shows, but this week I am joined by DJ Superstar, who has graciously come to join me for a nice conversation a bit later on. So, today we are going to play some music we've been listening to, and as well do a little topic about friendship, because why not? Friendship is fun. We are just going to jump into the music. First one, I think, was picked by DJ Superstar.
Yes. Also, just want to say, big shoes to fill. Yes, this first one is called Miniature Overture by the kind of dance pop artist Sunflower, but with no O, just Sunflower. From their new album, Heard It in a Dream. So please enjoy, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Enjoy.
Thank you. Welcome to Dr. Misterio's Happy Hour, the second radio show with Spanish subtitles. We broadcast in Technicolor every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM. Tune in, fill your Sunday soundtrack glass with happy rhythms, predominantly in Spanish, but with tons of female and Canadian content, and join us for table talk with local and international artists. Dr. Misterio's Happy Hour, every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. You are tuning into Slumber Party. I almost forgot the name of our show, but I'm DJ Coco.
And I'm DJ Superstar.
Who is replacing regular DJ Star for the time being? DJ Superstar, would you like to introduce the last couple songs?
I would love to, DJ Coco. So what you just heard was How Long Can You Keep Up a Lie by Sia Gray from her new album Sia, which came out earlier this year. And the whole album's awesome. Like, she's got a lot of experimental pop on there. It's kind of more pop than her other albums that I've heard, but she's a really awesome artist. She's also Canadian. She's from Toronto, and she actually started as a bass player for Daniel Caesar. Mm. And that's kind of how she got recognized, and then boom, overnight kind of became her own solo artist, and now she's doing really well. So it's, we love to see it. It's awesome.
Yes, go check out her album, all caps, Sia. Really good.
So good. And then before that, you would have heard Sunflower's song Miniature Overture from his new album Heard It in a Dream. Just like dance pop, electronic pop music. It's really good. It's kind of dreamy and light, which mm-hmm. is nice. Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully you like those. We decided we would like to talk a little bit about our topic. A little earlier than normal, but why not? So this week we are going to be talking about friendship. Kind of more on overall, I guess, holistic health, the impacts of social media, and kind of the science behind it. We'll see where it goes, but...
Yeah, as well as some of our own personal stories relating to the topic as well, and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's get into it. Yeah, so I read this pretty interesting article the other day from the American Psychological Association called The Science of Why Friendships Keep Us Healthy. It goes into a lot more detail than I am, so if you're interested, check it out. But basically, romantic relationships are often centered as the most valuable or sought-after relationship to make your life better. But on the other side of that, they're also a very big reason why a lot of people end up in therapy or it just comes up a lot. Like, it's something that weighs on mental health a lot as well. I don't know. I can relate to that, I think.
Yeah. No, yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting that mostly it's romantic relationship for therapy. But, yeah, friendship is very, very important, I believe. I feel like my health... When I just have even a few close friends in my life that I know I can count on, it really kind of motivates me to keep going in a way.
Totally.
Knowing that, I know, people support me, and not just romantically as well.
Yeah, I'd almost argue friendships are more important, at least in my life. In the past, they've been more important than my romantic relationships, and they just keep, they're more stable. Like, you don't really think, oh, this is going to end at some point. Like, obviously they can end, but it's not the same stakes as a romantic relationship that kind of ebbs and flows.
Yeah, it's kind of like a ticking time bomb for romantic relationships sometimes.
To be on the cynical side, yeah.
Yeah, to be cynical. But having a great friendship, I feel like, can kind of set you up for life. And even friendship can be like soulmates as well. I feel like I've made friends that I feel like I'm definitely going to the grave with.
100%.
But yeah, and it's not just the feelings behind these friendships, but there's a whole science behind friendship like this. I know that for what we found is that if you have solid friendships and people you're close to, you are less likely to suffer from depression, less heart problems and chronic diseases. They say that actually talking to a supportive friend can lower your blood pressure and changes your stress response, which I mean, it makes sense to me, but I never really thought it in that way.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of it connects to like loneliness. Like when you're at your very worst and you feel like you have nothing, it's like you can't always draw from yourself. Like, it's good to be independent, but you can't always expect that from yourself. So having a solid friend to kind of hold you up, and then you do the same for them when they're in that situation, it can get you through a lot. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, just even having someone listen to you, and not even just give advice, but just nod their head along and say, like, I understand. 100%. I feel like is so helpful, which is keeping going and with mental health.
Yeah, totally. And I think you found something really interesting, DJ Coco. If you're socially isolated, you have 32% of a higher risk of early death.
Yeah.
From Forbes. Thanks, Forbes, for
Thank
that
you.
Morbid stat.
Thank you, Forbes.
And the risk factors, it's equal to smoking 20 cigarettes a day, feeling socially isolated.
I know that. I saw that and I was absolutely shocked.
Jaw dropped.
Jaw dropped. So that definitely made me consider strengthening my friendships, making more friendships. But actually, I was wondering what your opinion on how many friends do you think is the optimal amount? Or do you think that having more friends better, less friends? Like, what is your...
Yeah.
What's your opinion on it?
That's a good question. I think... I don't know, my personal life, like high school, I had a really solid group of like 7 or 8, and it was just like we were all friends with each other. So I don't know if this makes sense, but maintaining the individual relationships was a lot easier because we were all part of a group.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like I have to see each person separately, like that takes up a lot of time. Whereas now in university, it's like a lot harder to get to that level because everyone is just running out of time.
Yeah.
I don't think there's an optimal number. I think it's just like, what can you realistically balance and what, like, how much time are you putting into each person, I guess, to get to that point that you want?
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Totally. Yeah.
What do you think?
No, I had almost the same experience. I had a group of 6 in high school, and it was easier to stay connected because every time you'd meet, everyone would be there, mm-hmm. and you'd consider them all your friends. But now, yeah, in university, since so many people are running around and doing their own thing, it's so hard to latch on to even just one solid friend group because everyone, it's hard to make plans to even have everyone meet at the same time. So you kind of have to strengthen your individual friendships, which is difficult and time consuming, but mm-hmm. it is so worth it, as the science says.
Totally.
So,
yeah, also just in university, you might even be, like, bringing a lot of different people together, and you don't really know how well that's going to mix. It's, like,
mm-hmm.
it's tiring on top of classes and jobs and the hustle culture. And
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. Friendship, I feel like in university, too, you kind of have to pick your friends as well.
Totally.
Like, you need to surround yourself with good people. I've definitely met people through classes where I'm kind of like, you know, I see this as a class kind of friend, mm-hmm. but we're not, I don't think yeah. I see this evolving into anything more.
Yeah, you're like, you're all right, but I'm not trying to be your best friend.
Yeah, it's
100%.
Like, you know.
But you don't want to be rude either. And
oh,
like,
no.
No one's like, unless you really don't like someone, I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, exactly. But even so, like, even if you do really like someone, you're like, oh, I wish to continue being friends. I feel like it is very difficult to continue like making and developing a friendship in university, and I guess in life in general, because of all the time that you have to set aside to meet with them and like connect and so forth, and especially like everyone's trying to study, everyone's working, everyone's doing their own thing. So, but it's definitely a commitment from both sides, I'd say.
Yeah, 100%. I almost feel like at least I've in my own self, I've become like more reserved in university. Like, I don't know, in high school, I would just talk to anyone because it didn't feel like, I don't know how to, it's like, I'm going to see you every day. So if I talk to you now and like, don't talk to you tomorrow, I'm still going to see you next week. So like, I don't have to worry too much about the commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now it's like, if I really want to become friends with someone, you kind of have to make it happen.
Yeah.
But we're also like told that it's weird to care. And like, it's weird to be, oh my God, I hate Oh my gosh, I dislike the word nonchalant, but like, we're told to be nonchalant, and it's like embarrassing to like want to be friends with someone.
I know, people are like, oh yeah, just like don't text back quickly and just act like you don't care. Yeah, it's so dumb. I say, if you want to make a friendship, if you want to make a connection, do it. Put yourself out there.
The worst they can do is like not reciprocate your energy, and then you just move along. Like,
yeah,
it's literally fine.
We find a new person.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, no, I totally agree. But yeah, those are kind of the strong parts of friendship that is good to tie into. But there's also weak social ties that was mentioned in the article too. So it's not just making and strengthening current friendships or having like, oh, great friends or best friends.
Yeah, like really deep bonds with people.
Mm-hmm. But it actually, the science states that having weak social ties actually benefit your health as well. So this can include like going to the coffee shop every week and seeing the same barista, and the barista remembers your name. It's like, oh, that's nice. Or even just talking to someone on the elevator for a few moments kind of thing.
Yeah, or even just saying, like, talking to someone random on the bus.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Just acknowledging, I don't know, when DJ Coco mentioned this, I thought of, I work at a tourist attraction, and I'm kind of like the one that guides these people. Like, I say hello to them or greet them before they go on to the attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And this might be a little morbid, but part of my job in my training, my boss was like, okay, like, make sure you're actually looking at people in the eye and asking them how they are or saying hello. Like, being as genuine as you can, even when you're tired, because the attraction could be dangerous if the person did want to jump off or something.
Yeah.
Like that. Like, but it just shows the power of these small things. Like, you acknowledging and seeing them could genuinely save their life. And
exactly.
I believe that, like, not just my kind of morbid, crazy example, but, like, normal people every day that you see, like,
mm-hmm.
you have no idea how lonely someone might really feel.
Yeah. Like, no, you have no idea how, what anyone is going through right now or what their life situation is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, just taking a moment out your day to be kind is just so human. And
yeah.
I think it's something that we all should do. Just, it should be done.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was super interesting.
It kind of ties in a bit with, like, the rise of social media. Like,
oh, you know,
everyone looking at their phone
media.
All the time.
No
digital relationships.
Yeah, I definitely do not like social media.
Yeah,
even in university.
Actually, like, you and DJ Star, like, impress me so much because neither of you use Instagram.
Oh,
which sounds maybe to, like, older people, like, okay, that's dumb. Like, just don't use it. But genuinely, everyone uses it, and, like, it's such a way to, like, make casual connections.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, or, like, keep up with things you think you need to keep up with. So, it's actually, like,
I really
appreciate that. Like, I'm going to try and get on that with you guys.
Oh,
like,
do it. Do
it. I would
love to. Oh, my. Yeah. I've actually, it kind of did a, not a 360, but it kind of changed my view on friendship.
In what way?
With doing that. It's just because I used to have a lot of acquaintances that I'd kind of keep up with and, like, people I'd consider friends on social media.
Yeah.
But
friends in quotations.
Friends in quotations. But it was, like, the second that I deleted the app and then only texted people is, and that was the moment when I realized, like, who I want to keep in my life, like, who do I want to connect with,
mm-hmm.
and who do I want to kind of drift away kind of thing. And it made me really hone in on my current friendships and strengthen them a lot. And I really do appreciate that. And I find that, like, my mental health wise, that is the best option for me. And although I know other people can't just go cold turkey and, like, delete social media, I found it worked really well for me. And honestly, like, people think that you lose all your friends after, but if they want to stay in your life, they will. And
mm-hmm.
if you make an effort to, everyone, you will keep your friends. So,
yeah. And there's no harm in being like, hey, like, I'm deleting this. Can I get your number?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's
exactly.
no harm in that.
Exactly. And even in school too, like, in university, people are always asking for, oh, Snapchat or Instagram. But
really? In university?
Yeah, in
That's
university.
That's embarrassing. Delete Snapchat if you're over the age of, like, 16.
just, no, I agree. No more streaks.
Just kidding.
No more streaks.
What are streaks? I've never understood.
It's like, send a picture of your face, send it back, do it for, like, 3 years.
Or you're listening to people talk and they're like, he sent me a photo of the wall. Like, what does that mean? It's like,
oh,
he doesn't like you.
It is, like, so
he's putting
ridiculous.
In no effort.
Like, it is so ridiculous.
So ridiculous.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Snapchat.
No, I hate Snapchat too. I'm using the word hate. I despise it.
It's the worst one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
Instagram's pretty bad. We're just going on a rant.
Yeah, I know. But also, I know we seem very anti all these things,
mm-hmm.
but social media, like, has opened up a lot of ways for people to connect.
Oh, yeah.
And evade loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they're, like, in a home situation that's not very good and, like, they can't express their true selves in their real life, so online is where they do that. That's also like, valuable in its own way, even if, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't really relate to that as much, but I know a lot of people that do.
Yeah, I personally don't relate either, but DJ Superstar makes a great point.
Thanks, DJ Coco.
about the self-expression, because, I didn't actually think about this, and it is a very, very good point that people who maybe are more introverted and you don't really see a side of them in person, but then they have such a vivid personality online. I remember in high school when this very quiet girl had an amazing art account, and I was mm-hmm. like, wow. And then other things like being passionate for cooking, or this boy who did a lot of posts about aromanticism, and it's like, oh, I never would have thought about that about you, but it's interesting to see how you self-express on here, mm-hmm. and I think that is an amazing part of social media.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. It gives you, like, even if you're, quote, like, if you're not, like, famous, or you're not, like, anything, like, if you're just a normal person, it gives you a platform to communicate, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it has taken on a more negative kind of life of its own.
Yeah.
The way it's formulated to keep our attention for so long. I don't agree with that part of it.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. And the friendship part of it as well. Like, people say that they keep their friends through social media.
But how good friends are you really if that's the case? Unless you live far away. But.
Yeah, exactly. All I can think about is keeping friendship is when people send, like, funny videos back and forth to each other. But how much of a connection is that really doing for your friendship?
That's true. Although, to play devil's advocate. No, one of my best friends moved away for university, mm-hmm. and our relationship is mostly based on jokes, but also, like, she's literally my sister, so it's like, it's a good way for us to keep up, and then but still carving out time to, like, call on the phone or, like, go visit each other and actually have good conversations. So
yeah.
It's a balance.
It's a combination of everything. So, yeah, there's definitely still a lot of positives about social media and friendship, but I think also just the rise of social media has kind of, maybe on the other side, replaced the need. Not the need, but the mm-hmm. desire for human connection in person.
Yeah.
There's a term in Japanese that they call hikikomori, and it's that young adults in Japan, they put themselves under extreme social isolation, and they just go completely virtual, and they have no human contact in, like, Whoa. In the physical world kind of thing, and they're just solely in their room online for
That's
their entire
crazy.
Life. So, yeah, those are the kind of things that I'm, like, with social media and the internet in general, I'm like, how does mm-hmm. that... How do you keep... Like, how? I don't think virtual friends can really keep you mentally sane at that point.
Definitely not. Is that mm-hmm. a new word? Like, that must be new in the last 10 years.
Yeah, it was new. It was from the same Forbes website. Thank you. Thank
Shout
you, Forbes.
Shout out, Forbes. keeping us informed.
But, yeah, I've actually heard the term before, but I do believe it is a new term. I'm not really too up to date with Japanese terms, but the fact that they have, a word for this is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, your phone dies or there's no electricity and you look around, like, what's there, you know, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, I feel like I get, like, very dystopian about this kind of stuff, but I'm like, at one point, like, we might not be able to use this technology.